Good morning, and welcome to this Sunday's online service from the West Aberdeen Churches. I'm Kenneth Petrie, the minister at Craigie Butler Church, and I'll be joined in this service by my colleagues from Cults, Manifield, King's Wells, and Peter Cooter. We're pleased to be able to bring you this service, and we hope that you will find it as comfort, help, and encouragement at this time when life for all of us is far from normal. We've been greatly encouraged by the very positive feedback to our first service, which had over 800 views in the first week. However, due to the stringent restrictions introduced this week, we're no longer able to meet together to produce the service. So this week, we've each recorded our own contribution. We're grateful to Graham Robertson, who has taken our individual contributions and edited them into this one service, and to Emily Anderson, who recorded the music. One person has said to me that they really enjoyed last week's service because they were able to watch it from the comfort of their own armchair. So, wherever you're watching, join us now as together we worship God. Let us pray. God of creation, Lord of the universe, the heavens and earth declare your glory. Your might and majesty are beyond our imagining. Yet you come to each of us. Your loving concern reaches out to us. Be with us now as we meet separately in our own places and spaces, yet are one with each other and with you, united together in the body of Christ, one church, one people. God of creation, we rejoice and praise you for the signs of spring all around us, for the vibrant colours of the spring flowers, for trees coming into bud, for the bird song, all the more intense because of the silence that now surrounds us. We praise you for these signs of new life bursting forth, signs that even in days of darkness there is hope of new life to come. We need that hope at this time, the hope that only you can give, the hope that does not disappoint us, because you have poured your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom you have given us. We praise you, our God and Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to whom be all glory and praise, power and dominion now and forever. As we praise you, as we join one another in worshipping you, as we rejoice in the beauty of the world and the gift of new life, we are conscious that we have not always appreciated the gift of life you have given us, nor the many gifts we have received from you. We have taken so much for granted, so much that is now denied us. The ready availability of goods and services, the freedom to go where we choose, but especially the company and fellowship of family and friends, and of your people in the community of faith. Forgive us, and grant us a greater spirit of appreciation. God of creation, continue to assure us of your presence, and may we praise you always for all your good gifts, for the hope we have in the new life we see all around us, and for the hope that is ours in Christ, your Son, our Saviour, in whose name we pray, and with whose words we continue to pray as we join together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the death of Lazarus. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sister sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "Teacher," the disciples answered, "just a short time ago the people there wanted to stone you, and you're planning to go back?" Jesus said, "A day has 12 hours, doesn't it? So those who walk in broad daylight do not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light." Jesus said this and added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up." The disciples answered, "If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well." Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, but for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let's go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go along with the teacher, so that we may die with him." Amen. I read this reading and could not help but think about how this part of the story that we know so well speaks to the situation we find ourselves into today. It features a family gathered. One of them is sick and they are scared. They are on their own and no one is able to come to help them. They contact the one friend they think of that could help, and then they wait. Mary, Martha and Lazarus have no telephones, no iPads to FaceTime on, no emails they can be sent or replied to. Instead, they send word, by snail mail, if you like, and they wait. And they wait. It feels like we are all in a state of waiting at the moment, doesn't it? We've been told to stay put, only to venture out for essential shopping, to get some daily exercise, or to help with the vulnerable in our communities, or if we must, as an essential worker, go to our place of work. Other than that, we wait. What are we waiting for? For this virus to pass us by? For a cure or a vaccine to be found? Or are we waiting for life to get back to some sense of normality? One of the most striking comments to come from our politicians this week was from our First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon. And she said, life shouldn't feel normal right now. So if your life feels entirely normal, ask yourself if you're doing the right things. In our gospel reading, as they wait, we sense the despair of Mary and Martha. And we get to hear Jesus' side of things. He gets the message and he too waits. He waits because he knows the end of the story. He knows all will be well. And as this short story plays out, God will be glorified. The final result of the sickness, he says, will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God. And it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. Jesus chooses to wait. He knows he has the power to raise Lazarus. There is no rush. And this leads me to think about the last couple of weeks and how much activity went on in the first few days of us being told we could no longer worship together. That week I was in self-isolation because of a silly cough. In that week I had to stop all the rushing around. I was confined to the house except for taking the dogs out for a walk, keeping well away from other people. Almost all my activity had to take place from within the house. No nipping down to the Kirk Centre or out to visit people. But my goodness me, was it a busy week. Learning how to use Zoom for meetings, doing a lot more telephoning than normal, working out how to be church without actually gathering for worship. One of the biggest lessons I am learning in all of this is the new way of living that I need to develop. I need to slow down, which for someone like me with a busy brain is really difficult. But if we do as we are told, the coronavirus will be with us for maybe a weeks or maybe months. But if we're going to do as we're told, then the pace has to slow down. I need to find a new pattern to my days, a new routine. I need to learn to wait, not to rush. I know the end of the story of Lazarus. I know the Easter story. I know that this time will pass. I know that God will be glorified. And as we approach the end of Lent, a time of waiting, we can be hopeful people that in the darkness of our days, the light of the world, Jesus, is there as a constant. He's waiting this out with us. We all experience dark times when we struggle with grief or fear or stress or the list goes on. What's different this time is that we're experiencing this together. The darkness is being felt by us all. Never in my living memory has there been a time such as this. I'm very conscious that hanging out onto the light of Christ has never been more important. Life, for most of us, will eventually return to normal, but sadly not for everyone. My prayer is that as normal returns, that the normal doesn't mean the same as what was. My prayer is that when this darkness is gone, that a new way of living will emerge. Some people have suggested that the world order is being reset, that humanity is getting a kick up the backside that it needs. And there have been lots of creative ways people have expressed this sentiment. Wordsmiths, artists, musicians, bringing their talents to the fore to inspire us and to lift us up in their own way, letting the light of Christ shine. One of my favourite pieces of creative writing is a poem by Kitty O'Meara. And the poem has no title and simply goes like this. And the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows, and the people began to think differently. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully. And they had been healed. As we wait, may the Christ light shine in our hearts. May we find new ways of living and being. As we wait. Amen.
So we continue to read from John's Gospel, reading again from chapter 11, from verse 17, where we read that on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and deeply troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not, the one who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Amen. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, as well as being one of the most dramatic. And in two words, we're reminded that Jesus Christ was a human being, just like any of us, experiencing grief and loss and bitter tears. Aside from the resurrection of Jesus itself, the raising of Lazarus can be seen as the central sign in John's Gospel, and the one in which Jesus says what many regard as his most significant saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is a painting of the raising of Lazarus by Caravaggio, the great Italian artist. And we see in this painting that the miracle is just about to begin, that Lazarus is still stiff with rigor mortis, with one hand raised towards the light. For the man holding Lazarus, the body in his arms is the focus for him. As the stiffness of the rigor mortis begins to soften, the breath of life is restored. And we also see that Mary and Martha gaze lovingly at Lazarus. Here, their brother and friend is restored to life. You can also see the complementary figures who cluster around Jesus, especially the three faces above, beneath, and to the right of his outstretched arm. Art critics believe that it's possible that these three figures represent different stages of discipleship. The lowest face is one of bewilderment. This gravedigger, assuming that's what he is, senses that something is happening, but he doesn't know what. And then the face above Christ's arm is believed to be that of Caravaggio himself, and it's a face filled with hopefulness. At the end of Christ's hand, the third figure is touched on the forehead by his outstretched finger. This man is neither bewildered nor hopeful, he's simply grateful. And if you have a look at the raised hand of Lazarus, the hand which Caravaggio has placed right at the exact centre of the canvas, it's now beginning to come to life. And there's ambiguity about the hand. At one level, it's a great symbol of resurrection, of new life. But at another level, the question might be asked, is Lazarus trying to receive, to catch the light in his hand, or indeed to shield himself from it, even to refuse it? Because we don't know what Lazarus has been through. Is he desperate to be back to where he has been? Or is he amazed to be alive again, ready to be back in the arms of his family and friends? As we take in the wonder on the faces, the astonishment, the hopefulness, the bewilderment, we also see the face of Jesus who's brought about this amazing event. Again and again, I'm drawn to that verse when Jesus heard the news that Lazarus had died. Jesus wept. But Jesus didn't simply weep and then walk away. He raises Lazarus to life. He demonstrated that when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," it wasn't merely words. It was more than just a wonderful saying. In the same way, Christians are called to bring new life to people in need in our world today, not simply by our words, but by our actions. And of course, we cannot do what Jesus did and raise somebody from the dead. But resurrection life can also mean simply volunteering to help your community during the present coronavirus crisis, or giving extra money to charities which are struggling to help some of the poorest people in our community in a time of crisis. Resurrection life can be brought about whenever we offer a helping hand to a neighbour or friend, whenever we bring comfort to the sick and strength to the bereaved, whenever we use our God-given gifts to help other people. This is indeed a very dark time for all of humanity. And like Jesus back then, many are weeping. Christ, I believe, is weeping with us. But resurrection moments are still happening amidst the darkness. And in time we'll come through this dark period and we'll experience the light once again in all its glory, just like Lazarus.
Continue on our reading from John chapter 11, reading from verse 38. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Sometimes, as Christians, it can be hard to be open in our faith. It is easier to say, "I am busy, I have a meeting," than to say we are going to church, that we have a Bible study. We can pray in our hearts. We can pray quietly behind closed doors. Jesus instructed us to do this, to seek out solitude and to spend time with God, away from distractions. We can and we should do these things. But when we are witnessing God working in our world, when we are witnessing miracles and asking God to act in situations, then we should be public about who we are asking to help us, public in our profession of faith. Over the last week, Facebook has been filled with messages of hope, alongside a lot of jokes, fake news, real news, and pleas for people to stay at home. God has featured in much of these. People joining together to call out to God in prayer. Online services. We said the Lord's Prayer together at 11 on Wednesday. We lit a candle and we prayed for hope last Sunday evening. It is strange how in this time of trauma, in this time of fear and worry, it is easier to offer to pray for someone. It is easier to talk about God. Let's continue to develop this habit as we walk alongside those who mourn, as we provide our families and our friends with practical, emotional and spiritual support. Questions are being asked about faith, the sorts of questions people only ask when times are tough. People are searching for hope in the face of confusion and pain and hurt. We have our example in Christ, who walked alongside the broken and hurting people of this world. He wept when he heard his friend had died. He grieved with Lazarus's sisters, even although he knew he was there to make it better. He was there to restore Lazarus to his family. Still, he wept because those around him were hurting. So many wonderful things are happening right now. People are pulling out the stops, helping others, going above and beyond the call of duty. Faith in action is being practiced on a daily, even hourly basis. So keep stepping out in faith. Keep providing comfort and support to those who need it. But let's make sure when we do these things, we follow through and tell others that we do it to witness to God's glory in the world. Because when we give God the glory, we turn the spotlight from ourselves to the one who truly deserves it. And when we witness to God in our actions, that's when people begin to believe. Amen.
Loving God, we are grateful that you are with us and that you are guiding us through these difficult times. In the midst of the chaos and uncertainty, we know that we can rely upon you, you who created all that is out of the chaos of a deep and formless void. Even now, your Spirit is creating and inspiring signs of new life and hope all around us. Nature itself is beginning to heal. And around the globe, people are rising to the challenges that this virus is presenting. In creative ways, people are responding to the overwhelming need, coming together like never before, volunteering to help where and how they can, coming forward to use their gifts and skills to make vital medical supplies. All expressing the simple, hopeful message that we are called to be a caring community, which is beyond buildings, boundaries, social parameters, and barriers that have long kept us separate. Indeed, O God, we are grateful for the simple gestures of compassion that we experience or that we share, whether it be a phone call, a text, an email, or a simple word of thanks to those who are doing the important and often overlooked work in our grocery stores, petrol stations, and public transport. There are glimpses of hope all around us. And as we continue to live into this new reality, we are also mindful that so many people, so many of us, feel disconnected, alone, frightened, and overwhelmed. We know the need for health care and support is overwhelming. We know that we cannot do this alone, that together with our neighbor and together with your guidance and your Spirit, that we can live into this reality of providing good care and support. Oh God, hear us as we pray for those who are providing life-giving care and support. For the NHS medics, nurses, specialists, and all the people who make the hospital and surgeries run smoothly, as smooth as possible during these difficult times. We pray for the women and men who are working hard to make sure we have food to purchase, staffing the grocery stores, the fuel depots, providing public transportation, and all the workers that are providing the services necessary for daily living. We continue to pray for those teachers for the teachers who are teaching our children from home, for the carers who continue to be there for the most vulnerable, for the volunteers in our churches, communities, and nations. We pray for our leaders. Grant them your wisdom and compassion in their decision-making. And God, knowing that Jesus weeps with us and knows our pain, we pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who have COVID-19 in their families. For those struggling with ongoing health issues, may they not be forgotten and able to receive their necessary treatments. We remember those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, made even more poignant during these difficult times. May they experience the love and support they need. We pray for all those among us who are deeply impacted by social isolation, who are struggling with anxiety and worry, mental health issues, feeling trapped, feeling unable to go out and about to experience freedom as usual. We pray for those who are experiencing anxiety caused by family separation, and for those family members who are desperately trying to get home. We remember all those who are weighed down by the fears about their employment, finances, their future. We pray for our young people, those who are taking their uni exams from home, those in secondary school who are struggling with the disappointment of being unable to take their exams, and all students who are unable to be in school with their classmates and teachers. We pray for all parents who are now helping their children learn at home, and for the teachers who are teaching virtually and in person with key workers' children. We pray, O God, that you would keep all people safe, surround them with your love and your compassion, provide what they need, and use us to be the body of Christ, to share that love and that support. Oh God, hear us as we silently pray for those whom we love and hold dear. Loving God, we pray for ourselves. You know what we're struggling with. Calm our fears. Unbind all that keeps us entombed. Free us from all that keeps us from experiencing your life-giving presence in our lives. Help us to see and to express hope in our daily lives. Oh God, you are the source of all that is, the source of our being and the source of our hope, peace, joy, and love. Through your flowing Spirit, may we be refreshed and renewed as we seek to be your living presence here and now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today's benediction is a responsive benediction. After I say the words, reborn, renewed, restored, let's all say them again together. Jesus wept for his friend and called him back to the world. We, like Lazarus, hear Jesus calling us friend. We, like Lazarus, are reborn by his love. Reborn, renewed, restored. Reborn, renewed, restored. Jesus wept for his friend and called him back to the world. We, like Lazarus, need the power and strength of God as source of all that we can't find in ourselves or in the world. We, like Lazarus, are renewed by living water. Reborn, renewed, restored. Reborn, renewed, restored. Jesus wept for his friend and called him back to the world. We, like Lazarus, find ourselves in a darkness that threatens to consume. We, like Lazarus, are restored by the light found in Christ and in God's love, reborn, renewed, restored. Reborn, renewed, restored. As we leave this place, God goes with us, inspiring and reinvigorating our life. Amen. Thank you.